Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dearest Blood River Radio family, I want to thank you so much for hanging on, and I'd like to thank you for hopefully you being patient with the way I scheduled this program. I was trying to set it out the best of my ability. If you know, we've had the eminent psychiatrist come on in the first hour, which I had to give a disclaimer there the second hour. Then we've had somebody I was really, really anxious to get on, and James Edwards gave me the lead to this, the Skimmar Rudolph. Got to give credit to James. He put me on the trail to the Skimmar Rudolph. We had him on. Then we brought Fred Leutcher on, and now we've got Paul Fromm on. I didn't think I was overscheduling, and the reason I say that is because I know Fred and Skimmar are really, they know each other really well. They both worked in the same field in Eastern Europe, exposing the myth of the Holocaust. Okay, they both know of Ernst Zundel. Skimmar Rudolph worked, he was testified as an expert witness in the German trial, not the Canadian trial of Ernst Zundel, but the German trial. He was there, and Skimmar, I would say very proudly, like a soldier, he did 44 months in a German prison for thought crime, speech crime, for dare pointing out inconsistencies in the German official narrative on that sacred Holocaust, that God of the Holocaust, that jealous God of the Holocaust that will have no other gods before it. And so now we bring Paul in because Paul from the very get-go was a player in the life and trial of Ernst Zundel when he was in Canada. Paul was instrumental in that trial. He's thoroughly knows all about Ernst Zundel and all that. So that's why we brought Paul in. Paul also knows Skimmar. Skimmar Rudolph also knows Paul. So what we've been talking about, to let people know, let Paul know, we've been talking about the trials, you might say, the trials and tribulations of Skimmar Rudolph, and why he had trials and tribulations. He came in using his expert knowledge. I mean, the man has a doctorate in chemistry from the Max Planck Institute in Germany, the same city where the Mercedes-Benz are made, not Frankfurt. Anyway, what was that city? One more time, Skimmar.
Stuttgart. And I anyway. Did not get my PhD, so I was at the brink of it, and they shut me down because of my private research.
But you were there in a couple of weeks, though. I mean, with a couple of weeks. Anyway, that's where we are. So, Paul, if you will, tie this together, if you can. I am telling you to do it, not to. Tie this together with your knowledge of Ernst Zundel from his trial and tribulations from the very get-go in Canada, and to also your knowledge of the trials and tribulations of Skimmar Rudolph, and start anywhere you want to. Ask Skimmar any questions you'd like, make any comments you'd like to make, Paul. So go ahead,
well,
Paul.
I think one of the things that ties us together, Eddie, is persecution of thought. And, I now live in a theocracy. It's not Islam that I have to worry about. I don't have to pay tribute to Islam or Christianity or Buddhism. No, we live in a theocracy in Canada where the religion is the Holocaust.
Yes.
It's Holocaustianity, and just as any theocracy, it's very dangerous for you to, let's say, deny it. It might be dangerous in Iran, for instance, to loudly proclaim, I don't believe in Allah, and I think Muhammad was a child abuser. Well, that's probably a quick way to a very unfortunate result. But in Canada, yeah, you can mock Christianity, you can, as our political elite regularly does, You can purge away Christian symbols, as our elite did. They were telling military chaplains before our Remembrance Day. Our Remembrance Day is November 11th, similar to your Veterans Day. They were telling chaplains that they were not to make reference to God or religious symbols. So it might be pretty hard to have a prayer for the fallen that didn't mention God or whatever. But anyway, the new religion is Holocaust, and there's now a law in Canada that to put you in jail for up to 2 years for denying or denigrating downplaying the so-called Holocaust, which, as far as we can tell, had something to do with whatever happened to Jews in World War II era Germany and Poland. So now this has to be remembered, and I correct people, you know, when they say, you know, it's great to live in a free country. I tell them, you're not living in a free country. I mean, it's not just the fact we are now in a theocracy, and I use the term theocracy, you know, very deliberately. I'm not meaning to insult anybody, but religion is irrational, and by that I mean you can't reason your way to the existence of God or that Jesus Christ is Lord or whatever. You basically have to believe, and that is what makes it irrational. Whereas science and history are based on fact and reason. Now, when you tell me I cannot question this this basically Jewish folk history about what they say happened in World War II era Europe, and when you say I can't question it, I can't talk about facts, I must believe, or if I don't believe, I better shut up, then we're talking about religion. When facts no longer matter, when questions can no longer be raised, we're now in a religion. So I urge people not to parrot the nonsense that we live in a free country. You're slightly different. You may be unfree in other ways, but the United States of America still theoretically allows freedom of speech and expression. And the common thread that links the Ernst Sundel, Germa Rudolph story, a great man who I happened to meet but is now dead, Professor Robert Faurisson of France, and many other people, is persecution. Persecution for their nonviolent political and historical beliefs or findings, or in the case of Germa, his scientific findings. Persecution. You know, we kind of snicker and laugh at the era of Galileo, where he was persecuted for some of his scientific findings and forced to recant or face torture. No different today. If you are a dissident against this pernicious religion of Holocaust, you face jail, as Germar has and Ernst did, and I believe what Robert Faurisson did, or financial damage, which many, many of us have faced. We really live in an era of persecution, and I think that has to be understood. And that kind of leads me to another thought, and that is what truth has to enforce itself by threats of jail sentences or fines or financial ruin? Germa, I'm sure, will attest that the chemical table, you could disagree with what's in it. But nobody's going to throw you in jail if you disagree that there's such a thing as sulfur. You know, you're entitled to your silly opinion if you like, but you're not going to go to jail for it. Why is it that if you, at least in Canada and Germany and many other countries, if you have questions about whether the total was the Big Six or whether there was a planned program of extermination, and our good friend, or at least my friend, and David Irving, the great historian, said that, you know, he'd been through all the archives, and he said that he couldn't find an order. And Germany was a very, orderly, lockstep militarized country. You didn't have a lot of mavericks going around killing 6 million people just because they felt like it. I mean, there had to be orders, and one of the vexing things is that there doesn't seem to be any order, order anywhere along the line to exterminate people. These are problems, but it's dangerous to discuss them.
Paul, we got to go to our first break, the third hour. That is an excellent, excellent analogy, an excellent observation that you've made. When we come back, we'll go and get some of Gamar's comments, and I'm sure he'd like to say something to you personally. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
A BNS is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, Paul, my brother Paul, really lit it up. He bailed me out. He did something I could not do. So eloquent about it. But you know what? He's right. Holocaustianity is religion. Their God is the Holocaust, and it's a patented, trademarked God. It's an almighty God that will have no other gods before it. Just as in ancient times, when you rebelled against Islam, or maybe even a rebel against some of the church, the early Catholic churches, when you were accused of being a witch, you were burned at the stake. You were tied, had rocks tied around your neck and thrown into canals because you dared defy that God. Well, if you nowadays, you know what? Paul is exactly right. If you dare question, even in the slightest matter, the God of the Holocaust, that God that will have no other gods before it, then you're going to have hell to pay. And we have a man on here on the radio right now, Gamal Rudolph, who did go to prison for 44 months because he dared question the God of the Holocaust. Not because he, like Paul said, because he disagreed about a certain element in the periodic table. You could do that all day long and argue. You could argue with another chemist all day long, but you're not going to be punished for doing that. With that little diatribe, Gamar, go ahead and give us some of your comments on what we just said, what Paul said. Go ahead, brother.
You may or may not know, I have had the audacity to write an encyclopedia last year, because that's what scholars do. They just sit down, write encyclopedias once in a while. As a matter of fact, I have been doing research and publishing on the Holocaust issue for 30 years. I have been in the center of research and publishing on that topic for such a long time that I'd gathered all this knowledge and I put it together and wrote an encyclopedia. It's called Holocaust Encyclopedia. And you can visit it for free on holocaustencyclopedia.com.
Wow.
Now, if you do that and you go to the entry under search, you enter religion. Up comes an entry. We scroll down a little. It says religion, Holocaust S. And let me read a few items from there to highlight and emphasize you guys just said. Monotheism, thou shalt not abhor any other genocide as much as or next to the Jewish. The Holocaust is unique. Devil incarnate equals Adolf Hitler. Witches, sorcerers, wizards, and warlocks, the evil Nazis. Absolute evil, viral, eliminatory anti-Semitism. Golgotha, Auschwitz is the million-fold Jewish Golgotha. The sacrifice of a Christ God at Calvary has been eclipsed by the suffering of the Jewish people at Auschwitz. The martyrs, the Jews who died in the Holocaust. The saints, Holocaust survivors, because Holocaust survivors are now revered as secular saints, one does not dare question them. Preposterous statements pass without comment. It is a quote from Norman Finkelstein. The beatified, the righteous of the nations, Gentiles who helped Jews survive to become saints. Infallibility, Jewish Holocaust witnesses and Orthodox scholars always speak the truth, and if they accidentally get it wrong, it was an honest mistake caused by the Nazis having confused them. Holy Trinitarian dogma. The three untouchable tenets of the holy teachings, a plan to exterminate, gas chambers to implement it, the 6 million Jewish victims as a result. Believes in miracles, believe in the plan to exterminate European Jewish Jews despite the complete total absence of any documental evidence whatsoever. Believe in a weapon of mass destruction whose primary characteristic is its physical impossibility. The belief in the traceless disappearance of millions of bodies. Original sin, the guilt of what the perpetrators did and the rest of the world allowed to happen to God's chosen people. Sin, any doubt in the holy dogma or the infallibility or the uniqueness. Heresy, those who openly declare that disbelieve or dare to deny or even refute the holy dogma are ethically damned, excluded from society, denied civil rights, economically ruined, and ultimately thrown into jail, if not outright attacked and lynched. Redemption, accomplished by the ceaseless flow of money from anyone who can be framed as guilty or insufficiently respectful to Israel or Jewish pressure groups. Holy sites, Holocaust crime scenes such as the gas chambers of Auschwitz, Majdanek, Dachau, Neuengamme, Sachsenhausen, the killing fields of the extermination camps such as Chełmno, Belzec, Sobibór, Treblinka, or the imagined mass graves at Babi Yar. Holy shrines, Holocaust memorial sites and museums, holy relics, the shoes, hair, teeth, rings, suitcase left behind by the deportees, holy warriors, Nazi hunters such as Simon Wiesenthal, Fritz Bauer, Gideon Hausner, holy warriors, no, the prophets, Jewish pseudo-intellectuals spreading meaningless and unverifiable nonsense such as Elie Wiesel, Claude Lanzmann, and Gitta Sereny, high priests, those teaching the world what to believe, such as Deborah Lipstadt, Robert Jan van Velde, Itzhak Arad, Michael Berenbaum, Serge Klarfeld, and Raoul Hilberg. The one commandment. We have not ten, we have one. The religion does not have 10 commandments, but only one prime directive. Thou shalt prevent a future Holocaust by all means necessary.
That is excellent. That is excellent. Before we go back to Paul, that is incredible. That's one of the best dictionaries I've ever. That is great. That blows my mind how great it is. You know, something else, you can, as a Baptist, which I'm a recovering Baptist, or as even as a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a United Methodist, name your religion, in Christianity, you can commit almost any sin, especially in the Baptist church, and you can be forgiven. It says that you can. All you have to do, you go to your father and sincere. If in all sincerity you beg, you plead, ask your father to forgive you. After all, in the Blessed Scripture, the New Testament, But the Apostle Paul says, I'll say Paul, maybe even not, but I think it was Apostle Paul, you were saved by grace through faith, and not works. At least any man should boast. It says, even your good deeds are likened to filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. So you can be forgiven for almost any sin in the Christian religion, but you cannot. You are absolutely right. Absolutely 100% right, Gamar and Paul. You dare not even mention with the slightest hint that you have some disagreement or some doubt about the Holocaust, because there is no forgiveness for that. It's well known. The Jews have a saying that they live by: never forget, never forgive. And that's the way it is in the Baptist church. That's the way it is in just about any so-called Christian church I know. If you deny the Holocaust, it's equivalent to blaspheming the Holy Spirit in the Christian religion, which there's supposedly that's the only sin. I think that there's some disagreement there, that there's no forgiveness for. Paul, my man, take over, brother.
Yeah, well, I speak as a from the perspective of a very, very traditional Catholic. I'm a follower of Bishop Richard Williamson and the late Archbishop Lefebvre. But anyway, yes, forgiveness is part of the Christian religion, and it's not part of woke politics or the whole Holocaust industry, as we can see by the recent trials of 96 or 8-year-old people who were a secretary at Auschwitz, a minor official who had no power over anything. They were simply, it's like the janitor at the White House. He doesn't make policy. And yet, even nearly 3/4 of a century after the end of the Second World War, the dark forces want to go after these people, not even because they've expressed a view, but because they were there. And it's really evil. Well, one of the things that bothers me as a person who likes to think I'm a rational individual is that obvious nonsense, at least in Canada, might be dangerous to discuss. One of the doctrines of the Holocaust religion is that there was no greater massacre in human history. The Holocaust was the greatest. Well, okay, let's take their number of six million. We won't just debate that. Let's take that as given. Stalin and mostly his Jewish henchmen starved to death between 8 and 10 million Ukrainians in 1932-33 in the Great Famine, or the man-induced famine called the Holodomor. I mean, I rest my case. I don't think you have to be a graduate of old math to know that 8 and 10 are bigger than 6. So if yes, that was bigger than, how can the Holocaust be the worst, whatever, human history, let's just say the 20th century. And yet, to say that in Canada, I don't know, is that diminishing the Holocaust? But if you don't agree with what I'm saying, you're forcing yourself to talk nonsense. If you have to say nope, 6 was greater than 8, well, you're forcing rational people to talk idiocy. I mean, to obvious idiocy. And that really offends me. A nation. If we're going to compete in the difficult world that's out there with the rise of Red China and the 1.4 billion people there, we've got to be sharp, not stupid.
Yes, we do. With that comment, dear brother Paul, we have to go to our second break of the third hour. We'll be right back, dear people. Hang on to your seats, dear Blood Group Radio family.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, Pursuing Liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jen Gelber. In the past 2 weeks, hundreds of people across the U.S. have been arrested for protesting the Gaza war. Anti-Israel demonstrations have emerged nationwide since the NYPD arrested over 100 demonstrators at Columbia University on April 18th. According to the New York Times, protesting students have been setting up tents at campuses across the country, resulting in over 400 protesters being arrested for refusing to disperse. The United States is providing Ukraine with its largest military aid package to date. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced Friday a package worth $6 billion, which will include munitions for Patriot missile defense systems.
That will allow us to procure new capabilities for Ukraine from U.S. industry.
Austin expressed gratitude to Congress for passing foreign aid legislation that allocates over $60 billion in aid for Ukraine. He emphasized that with the right level of support, Ukraine can fend off Russia's invasion. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told NBC's Meet the Press that he doesn't believe presidents should have absolute immunity for actions taken while in office. This comes as the Supreme Court heard arguments related to former President Trump on Thursday. McConnell reiterated his stance, which he made after voting to acquit Trump following the 2021 Capitol riot, suggesting that the former president could be held accountable by the justice system. He emphasized that it would ultimately be up to the Supreme Court to decide. Approximately 1 in 5 samples of pasteurized retail milk are showing traces of bird flu. However, the FDA clarifies that this doesn't automatically indicate a risk of infection for customers. In a recent update, the FDA stated that further testing is required to confirm the presence of pathogens in the milk. Additionally, it reiterated its warning against consuming raw milk. I'm Jen Gelber, USA News.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Do you have a story to tell? Bring your story to life with audiobooks.
Great stories deserve great storytelling.
Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network handles everything. If you have a print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, call Audiobook Network now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-734-1229. 800-734-1229.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, listen, we're getting ready to go back to Paul. I'm going to ask him about the college students around the United States that I'm so proud of now at Columbia, University of Texas, Austin, at Yale, these other places. I've been trying to get the students at the University of Memphis stirred up. But listen, before we go to Paul and talk about the students, I'm going to repeat something that Sister Monica said some time ago. She said that the linchpin lie of all the Jewish lies, that one lie that holds them all together, is the Holocaust lie. And I think the reason that the Jews, the bureaucracy, and these Judeo-Christians, virgin whores, I think the reason they were so panicked about anybody putting a crack, a doubt, no matter how small, in the Holocaustianity lie, is that they know if that lie is destroyed, their multi-trillion dollar enterprise of the Holocaustianity will melt. They will no longer be able to build billions and billions of dollars from countries like Germany and Switzerland for their sitting idle about the Holocaust. So I think that's why they're so afraid of it. So I'll repeat what Monica said before we go to Paul. The Holocaust, in my opinion, I agree with Monica Schaefer, is the linchpin lie that holds all those other lies together. And that's why the Jews are so afraid of that lie being exposed. And that's why we at Blood River Radio are so hell-bound determined to keep talking about the Holocaust every month or so. Anyway, so back to you, Paul. We talked about during the break about these students at Columbia. Columbia has been probably most in the headlines. Also, Yale and Princeton, they're firing college presidents for not coming down hard on the students. University of Texas is raising hell. Emory University in Atlanta. Emerson University, I don't know where that is. But anyway, Paul, you described what happened at the Battle of Charlottesville in August of 2017 better than anybody I know. I think there's a lot of commonalities between Charlottesville, us marching there, the young people there, and the students and the young people at the university. So go ahead, Paul. Tell the audience your take on that.
Well, yeah, the protests at universities across the state and states and to a certain extent Canada in favor of the Palestinians has really got the elite riled up in a real lather. I think it's something I look upon. From a number of points of view. Number one, one of the things that bothers the Zionists and the elite is that it's taken the focus off their suffering. What the students are saying is bad things are being done to the Palestinians, and it's true. I mean, what has happened to the Palestinians from before Israel was given its independence by the UN. And ever since, it's terrible. I mean, the behavior of the settlers on the West Bank, even the Biden administration has condemned the way they just go and shoot Palestinians practically for sport. The way the Palestinians have been dispossessed of their territory in many cases, expelled. What's going on in Gaza? You just have to watch even CNN, and you see the suffering of the people and the destruction of. Of the cities, it looks like wartime Berlin. So the students are there, quite rightly, very sympathetic to that, and because they are, pointing out that the perpetrators are Jews, and they are, and there's this big howl about anti-Semitism and so on, and what I think is really significant is that for a lot of young people, and we've seen this. in public opinion polls, you know, relatively recently, but before October the 7th, a quarter of young people in the, I think it's 16 to 30 demographic, either don't believe in the Holocaust or never heard of it or think it's exaggerated. Well, after, you know, 50 years or more of nonstop propaganda from Hollywood, the education system, most religions, etc., that's phenomenal. But a quarter of that demographic has never heard of it or doesn't believe in it. And what I see happening on the campus is for once the focus is away from the Jews as victims. The Jews, or at least the Israelis and the Zionists, are seen as the victimizers, not the victims. That's huge. And I think the grip of, oh, we're the poor victims, and therefore one of the mainstays of the religion of Holocaust is going. That's all to the good. Less wonderful from the point of view of us as white people is that many of these protests are also anti-white. In fact, many of the protesters say the Jews or the Zionists are supporting white supremacy. Well, that's pretty hard to believe. It's like accusing the Chinese of supporting white supremacy. I'll just conclude with a sort of something that brings me a great deal of sorrow. Well, one of the best writers in Canada is Rex Murphy. He's a Newfoundlander, and like most Newfoundlanders, has the real gift of the gab. He's sharp. He's a great satirist, he's been an unmerciful critic of political correctness. Unfortunately, he's been away for a while, but I believe his return column. I wonder whether he was on a prolonged bender or had a brain transplant or what happened. But his column, sadly enough, is entitled "A Test for All Fair Minds." Hatred for Israel is the great moral disorder, and I won't read the column, but he ends up with this, and I find this profoundly sad and deeply mixed up. Hatred of Israel is the great moral disorder of our time. Support for Israel is the moral test of democratic leaders and all people with thinking and fair minds. I say no. Support for your own country first, America first, Canada first. And this reminds me all too much of the German president who recently said that the raison d'etre for Germany was to support Israel. I have to say, mais non, monsieur. The raison d'etre for Germany is to support Germany and Germans that they may thrive.
Yes.
We live in a badly mixed up world. And maybe in a way, so these young protests are maybe leading us back partway to sanity. That's my comment.
I think that's about it. You did an excellent job. You really did, Paul. I appreciate that. So, Gamar, why don't you chime in and we have a few minutes before we go to our last break. About a minute. Respond, if you will, falling back on your experience to what Paul just said.
I start with what Monica Schaefer said, that that is the linchpin of all the other lies. I'd go even a little bit further than that, and I'd say just focusing on Jewish lie is a little bit a sign of myopia. We are talking about rattling everyone's cage, everyone's trust into anything that's coming from the mainstream, not just from Jews, from the mainstream media, from the orthodoxy, or anything. And I see that a lot in people who are newcomers, that they then start doubting anything and questioning anything that comes from the top down. A lot of revisionists have doubt about anything that's being fed to them. Now, some of it is a little bit of a pour the baby out with a bath policy, going over the top of not believing anything anymore, or rather taking the opposite of what we're being told on anything to be true. That's not the right reaction either. But I think the lesson to learn from this massive fraud, from this massive hoax, is that we really need to instill in every citizen a healthy, and the emphasis needs to be on healthy, and a healthy critical, skeptical attitude to whatever we're being fed from authorities or from people who are claiming to have an authoritative opinion, whatever that is, to make with the idea of enlightenment to help people to use their own critical faculties to make up their own judgments without the guidance of others. That's the original idea of enlightenment, as Immanuel Kant has said it, and that's the lesson we need to learn on every topic, not just the Holocaust, but everything where power evidently has an interest in skewing things to be critical. Jews or not Jews, it applies general, and that is a general lesson to be learned.
You know, what you described in a way, my dear brother Gamar, is that our young people, you're advising our young people to, when they look into the Holocaust, not just the Holocaust, but anything coming from the mainstream media, they should use what we would call the scientific observation method. Test. Retest, compare, and contrast. I think if you would agree with that. We got to go to our last break now, Gamar. When we get through, we'll come right back to you, my brother. Be right back, folks. Hang on your seat. This is our last segment.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, you know, we'll go back to, if we're getting ready to tie this up. It's been wonderful. This has been one hell of a program. I'm telling you the truth. We had some incredible guests on here. You know, I don't know anybody. If I have any kind of idea at all, I like to express it. I want it put out there in an eloquent way. I just go to Paul Fromm. Because that's, after all, he's not an English instructor for nothing. And that's just... He's the best. And also we have Gamar. This is the first time we ever worked on Gamar. Well, Gamar, you know, before we went to the break, I think I'd ask you something about what I said that what you were suggesting the students, young people, the method that they would use when they watch the news. You said they shouldn't just stop listening to the news in total, although it's that they should use what I kind of term kind of the scientific method. You observation, you observe, you test. Maybe you go to other sources of information. You can't always do that. It's very time consuming at times, but it is very hard it's hard not to lose your faith totally in the news media. Matter of fact, to repeat, my precious friend, who's he died this month, Mr. I always call him Mr. Buddy. He said he wouldn't believe anything from the government. The man was 96 years old, and he brilliant, a very brilliant man. You people, everybody loves him, Mr. Buddy. That's what I'm talking about. He said if the government was to send him a book, he would not believe the page numbers. But I'm pretty much at that point now. And I'm pretty much at that point. I think like the old adage is, how do you know when a politician's lying? Just look if his mouth is moving. But anyway, go back to you. Paul, go ahead. Gamar, finish your take on the linchpin lie and what we said about the news, the news people and the medical system losing all credibility, and anything else you would like to talk about before we end the program tonight about your trials and tribulations and being punished for being the most evil of all evil people, a Holocaust questioner or denier. So go ahead, Gamar.
Yes, thank you. Well, first of all, not everyone is a scientist. Not everyone has the time to scrutinize everything. We live in a society with a highly developed, very complex structure where we depend on division of labor, division of knowledge, where we depend on the reliability of experts doing their jobs right. And to a large degree, we have to rely on it. We can rely on it if there is no political distortion of political interests or financial interests that skews things. Now, there can be with a medical method when huge financial interests are involved. There can be with anything that impacts today's politics, with powerful minority groups or with wars and genocides being waged like it currently happens in Gaza. Then you should perk your ears and realize there are massive interests of skewing news, and that's when people are supposed to pay attention. I have seen a lot of people going a little bit over the top and throwing everything out, and this is not good either. You have to have some trust in society, or else you can't function as a proper member anymore if you distrust everything and everyone. So there needs to be a reasonable limit to skepticism. And I'm trying to exercise that myself. It's sometimes difficult. Where are we with this now? Now I've lost my thread. I give the ball back to you because I lost mine.
Well, thank you so much. What you're saying is you were saying that you think, to use a cliche, society in general, especially our young people, are probably throwing the baby out with the bathwater, doubting everything that comes across the news. And you said that you agree that it's very hard. And I too say, I can hardly name one single news source in the United States and or Canada that I know that you can really trust. That's why, and not to sound pious, that's one of the reasons, the things I take pride in Blood River Radio. I think that we are very honest journalism. We do the best we can. We would never purposely lie.
Make a caveat there. You can trust news media if they report something where there is no point in lying about things. You know, if we're talking about news media talking about the Holocaust or Jewish anything that Jewish pressure groups are involved in, you need to be aware that there's massive interest or even pressure or threats not to report in a certain way. But if it's about local event news media, except for sensationalism, which you always find with journalists and journalists having to report quickly to stay in the game and making up stuff, sometimes that always happens. This happens. But for the most part, if it's the kind of irrelevant news of the tornado in the neighborhood and what have you, there's no point in going after this. Does anyone have an interest in portraying the Earth as a sphere rather than a flat object? So some people stop believing in the Holocaust, and they also stop believing that the Earth is a sphere, and then go for the flat Earthers. This is going a little bit too far because...
Excellent point.
Needs to be a limit of what is rational. contrarianism and oppositional defiance can become very irrational very quickly too.
I agree with what Jeremiah is saying. I think your 98-year-old friend was trying to make a point through exaggeration. I have no reason to distrust my local communists. I mean, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation News, if they tell me the scores of last night's Blue Jays game or the weather forecast for tomorrow, I'll take that as, that's probably true. what I look for are stories where there's only one point of view. Like, until very recently, you couldn't seriously criticize immigration in Canada. And that's the way it was in the United States up until Trump came along. I mean, seriously. And that tells me the fix is in. And that's why you tend not to believe their stories, because there's no debate allowed. If there's only one party line, that makes me skeptical. And that made me very skeptical during COVID. Actually, the story was always changing. First of all, masks, they weren't very effective. That actually was true. And then, well, but they probably are effective. And then finally, you must wear a mask. All I did, and I'm like Germar, my background is not science, but I consulted the New England Journal of Medicine, lo and behold, on May 21st, 2020, there's an extensive article on masks, in a nutshell, they said that only in an operating theater, and special type of mask, would there be a justification for a mask. Otherwise, the mask is really just a placebo. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel you're doing something. It has no real effect. Well, okay, fine. If you want to suck your thumb or suck a lollipop, that's your business. Just don't force me to do it. Even during COVID, the fact that quite often there was no discussion allowed. If you had some problem with the idea of the COVID vaccine, well, you're an anti-vaxxer, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm just skeptical. I'm reluctant to have something pumped or stuck into my body. That's a strange hang-up I have.
Well, Paul, before we run out of time, I got to ask you a question, a big question that's up tonight. Why, and this is a rhetorical question, I guess, why of all the, we're allowed to question a lot of things, but some things we can't question. And I may be repeating myself. I may be asking you to repeat something I've said, but so be it. Why are we not allowed to even investigate, to question in any way the Holocaust?
Well, that would tell me, as a skeptical person, that it's because whatever we're being told just might not be true.
You can apply that to a lot of other things, and you're not going to getting thrown in jail. The issue here is that the post-World War II world order, with globalism, with internationalism, with socialism, egalitarianism, with Jewish and Zionism, Jewish power groups and Zionism, all this hangs on the justification of this alleged good war against the absolute war of good against evil, and the narrative that came out of it, and anything that can topple it questions and challenge the whole power structure of everything that's been going on and that has been established and set up. And there is just a massive influence from globalist high finance, international corporate structures, from the United Nations to any global power that wants to dominate, the victorious powers in general, all the brainwashed vanquished nations who just have these Pavlovian reflexes, and they have their puppet governments. Everything hangs on it, and there's just too much at stake.
Miss Gamora and Paul, my brother, we have run completely out of time. This has been one hell of an interview. You mentioned something about the good war, the war of good against evil. M.S. Michael King wrote an excellent book called The Bad War, about the world at war against Germany during World War II. Also, there was a movie made about that. Hellstorm. Hellstorm. Same time. People, we dear Blood River Radio audience, we have run completely out of time. I would like to thank you so much, Gamar, and thank you so much, Paul, and thank you, Dr. McDonald, and thank you, Lizzie, for running this such a flawless board, and thank you, Blood River Radio family. Thank you so much for hanging on. See you same time and same place next week. Good night, everybody.